all the Chumash Yoram, I can think back on giving for a while on Thursday night. I don't know how long it exactly is. It's a long time now already. And there's one that particularly sticks out in my mind. Some of you will recognize this. I think it may have been, you know, if it wasn't the most well-received one, so then it was definitely up there. And it was a schmooze that somehow came out of me 2 years ago, right before Rosh Hashanah. Schmooze was based on two Maramakimis. One Maramakim was Talmud Arashba. Recently talked about a Talmud Arashba. Machlekes about Neshicha B'Shein. I don't know if it's the same Talmud Arashba, but there was a Talmud Arashba that wrote a sefer called Teres HaMincha. The reason it was called Teres HaMincha is because, unlike today, you know, where the Rav speaks usually in America, right before Musaf, in those days, so he used to speak, you know, right after Mincha. So his drushes were called Teres HaMincha. And this Teres HaMincha, this Talmud Arashba, is an amazing thing. Says, what's the reason for Tkiyah Shefer on Rosh Hashanah? So everybody knows Zechel HaKedus Yitzchak. Everybody knows Uri Shein Mishen Naschem. He says something else. He says that Tkiyah Shefer, when did we have Tkiyah Shefer? We're going to have a Mashiach. But Tkiyah Shefer was at Maimed Har Sinai. And at Maimed Har Sinai, that's where Klal Yisrael made the big statement of life. They said, Nasa V'Nishma. But when a person hears the Tkiyah Shefer, aside from all the other kavanas, he said the main kavana of Tkiyah Shefer is that we have to be thinking Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma. That's the Tkiyah Shefer of Rosh Hashanah. And that was Maram Makam number one. Maram Makam number two comes from much less holy sources, no Talmud Arashba, no Rashba. The second Maram Makom was invented when I was young by the Nike sneaker company of Portland, Oregon. Now, I grew up in the Air Jordan era, and one of the things that Nike taught us good and well was that if you want to be successful, or if you want to, you know, have hanoi in life, if you want to create a matzav, so what did Nike say? Three words. Just do it. You're from Chicago. Nike taught you just do it. Just do it. Just do what? And there's a big machlekes. Big machlekes about what Nike is actually saying. So there were the people who, you know, the anti-Nike people, you know, the Londonim, no, so what they mean is, you know, go by your impulse. You see a big fat cake in front of you, you know, loaded with sugar or whatever it is, and you're half diabetic, but you want the cake. Just do it, eat it, right? You want to have another beer after you already have 45, and, you know, you have tips out, just do it. Alarm clock goes off, and now you don't just want to go back. Just go back to sleep. Just do it. I was tiny. If that was what it was, it would not have sold a single sneaker. Everybody knows I have that in my personality, but, you know, it doesn't really cater to the big side of us. And also, just look at what they were showing you over there. You're showing a guy slam dunking. And you have a guy in the weight room, and he's pumping iron. So what does it mean, just do it? So they have a real shot, an emissive shot, and just do it. Is you have a guy, he wants to win gold in the Olympics. But it's very hard to win gold in the Olympics. You got to keep after your diet all the time. You have to make sure that you exercise all the time. You can't miss a practice. And you have all the rationalization. I can't win gold in the Olympics. Well, all these other guys are so much better than me. Just do it. Shut up. Tell your rationalization to shut up. Just do it. Your alarm clock gets you up in the morning. And you're so tired. I got to clean at 3 o'clock in the morning doing whatever it is, you know, schmoozing this, that, other things. Yeah, I can't get... Just do it. Just do it. How am I going to make it through this Tysus? so long. It's so hard. So boring. Just do it. Just do it. Tell your relation, tell your rationalization to be quiet. Just do it. You know that you're supposed to do it. Deep inside your heart says you got to do it. You can win gold in the Olympics. You can be great. So do it. But the Yetzer Hara and the rationalizations fight so hard, you know, that it's tough. So I timed it at the time, and I still think that I'm right. I told you guys, I'm always right. But on this one, for sure, I'm right. Nike didn't make up Just Do It. It really, you know, predated Nike by several thousand years, and we made it up. It's called Nasa V'Nishma. Give you all the instructions and all the rules, and this is what the Torah says you got to do. And that's it, you know, it's like the Rosh Yeshiva Shmooze with all the rules. Why can't it be like this and why can't it be like that? We have all the rationalizations of why it's wrong. No, you don't want to hear anything. Nasa, do it. Nishma will find out afterwards. Just do it. So that's what the Torah Zemincha says that Tekiah Shefer is all about. That's definitely a very key insight in life. Don't listen to your silly rationalizations and you need to chill. Just get out of your seat and make yourself great. Win gold in the Olympics. But how does it tie into Rosh Hashanah? What's the Tekiah Shefer really all about? And that's what I would like to talk about a little bit today, deepening our perspective and how this all fits into the general Rosh Hashanah picture. Now, last week we talked about the fact that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, but actually there are two dinim going on at the same time. And it's Machlekes and Gemara as to whether the actual din, the Mitzvahs and Averis, is even happening on Rosh Hashanah. Reb Yesi said, Kol Yom V'Yom. Reb Nosson said, Kol Shah V'Shah. We paskin it happens to be on Rosh Hashanah, but that's as far as the Mitzvahs and Averis. There's another din. The other din is a din of Ubacharta B'chayim. Yibore or Al Yibore? Do you want to be created this year? Do you not want to be created this year? Do you want to create yourself? Do you want to make yourself into something great this year or do you not? Are you going to turn it on cruise control? Are you going to idle the engine? Or are you going to say, no, I want life? That's the second din. Let's deepen this a little bit and see how it fits into a bigger picture, and then get back to our Tumar Makaymus over here of Nasa V'Nishma, and let's do it. And Be'ez Hashem, take away a lekach for Rosh Hashanah, something that could give us a chizuk for Rosh Hashanah, and hopefully all year round. We're still in Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim was last week. This week we don't really have a Parsha. It's fascinating, Parshas Nitzavim interfacing with Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam says Beferish in Hilchas Mila, I mentioned it in passing last week, that how many brisos are there in the Torah? How many brachas and klolas are there in the Torah? So you think two, Teres Kayanim, and you got Kisavim. Zok the Rambam in Hilchas Mila, he says that there's three. It says, Re'ei kama chamura mila, shalai nitla l'mesha rabbeinu alea afilu shah achas. V'chol mitzvah zatera nikrasu aleim. How many brisais? Shalosh brisais. Shenemar eila debre abris, milvad abris asher karas itom b'chayrev. That was in B'chukaisai. V'sham u'aymer atem nitzavim ayayim kulchem l'avrachav ebris Hashem. So nitzavim is a third bris. Rabbeinu Nissen Goyen, brought by Tosfos in Megillah, Dav Lamed Aleph, says that this bris of Nitzavim is the reason that we always make sure that we have Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. Ad kdei kach, that we split Nitzavim Vayelah, the two smallest parshias, to make sure that Nitzavim is always before Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because we have to get in the bris not only of Kisavai, but of Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. But that begs a big question. Because we already did it all in B'chukaisai. B'chukaisai was at Har Sinai. And then you have Kisavai, and that was in Arvis Mayav. So what's left for Nitzavim? some psukim about the guy who says Shalom Yeli and he doesn't buy into the whole thing. What's this third bris? It seems like just an addendum to the second bris. What's the third bris of Parshas Nitzavim? Why do we have to read that before Rosh Hashanah? There's another question. The other question, and this is a big kasha, the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch, it's in Simen Shin Samach Dalid, if you want to see, where he talks about tshuva, he talks about vidui. And he brings over there Kama Vakama Rishonim, who say that if when you're doing, like the Rambam says, is that the actualization of the mitzvah tshuva is lizvadas. But many Rishonim say, not just the Rambam, that if you do tshuva without vidui, you didn't do the job. It doesn't work. You were not mekayim the mitzvah of tshuva. Frek the Minchas Chinuch, a famous Gemara, that Gemara in Kiddushin says, you know, let's say you have this guy, and the guy, you know, he's the Rosh of the Manishtana, worse than the Rosh of the Manishtana. He does every Isser on the, he's like, Kaifer Be'ikr, everything or whatever. And he says to Anisha, he says, you know, Ari Amakudesh Li Almanas, Shani Tzadik Gamur. Says the Gemara, you have to be Cheshish Likidushin. Why? Because maybe he had what? Here, Hurei Tshuva. It doesn't work. According to most Rishonim, it doesn't work. How do you say the guy's at Tzadik Gomor? He didn't do vidui. He didn't do any of the other things you need for tshuva. The whole process is left. So what's going on over there? So what's the bris of Nitzavim? And number two, how can this guy be at Tzadik Gomor if he didn't do vidui? A similar kasha, and again, building up a critical mass, a bigger picture. This is a story. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, there is a great Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Kavitz Shiurim, Kavitz Aris. Everybody knows Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. He's one of the people who gave basically our hashkafa as to how to, you know, how to run the world, you know, or lead our lives in the world, and, you know, 20th century, 21st century. And Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman was a Talmud Muvik of the Chafetz Chaim. That was his Rebbe. Teacher in learning is teacher in life. So the story goes that Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman asked the Chafetz Chaim Akasha. He says, I don't get it. The Mesilas Yesharim makes a very, very big deal about how tshuva is a chiddush atzum. Akiras arotzen is ka'akiras amaisa. I do all of the averis, and because of the fact that I feel bad and I do vidui and all the other things, so I got rid of my averis. He's not a chiddush at all. You take a look at the Rambam. Everybody knows this Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. You know, you're always supposed to roiv mitzvahs, roiv averis. The Rambam says over there a very scary thing. He says over there, kol misha nichem ala mitzvahs. Anybody who does all the mitzvahs, he's a perfect yeshiva bacher. He never misses a seder. He never misses a shachris. He's perfect in bein adam l'chaveray. But he says, "Ay, what a loser I am. My kids will call him a chnun, right? What a chnun I am. What a yachne. What a, all these names. Tzadik v'raloi. Sulnikim, they call them. So he's nichem ala mitzvahs. He does all of it. But he, you know, he feels bad. V'tal as a chuyas. V'yama b'libo emay alti basiyasan. How did I change my life? Was it worth it? Halavai leya sisi. I'd rather just be out and be a party animal with everybody else. I would have a much more pleasant life. Hareze ibeid es kulon. He lost all of his mitzvahs. Ve'in mazkir moy shum schus ba'olam. Frek Rav Elchanan to the Chafetz Chaim, mida toiva meruba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always looking for the good. If when a person is nischaret on his good deeds, he loses those. So of course when you do tshuva, you lose your averes. What's the chiddush of tshuva? Powerful kasha. Maybe you have to ask yourself how you lose all your mitzvahs. That I don't understand so much, right? Once you have it by mitzvahs, why are you telling me a chiddush atzum of tshuva? What the chiddush atzum of tshuva? That's the way it works. Akira Saratzin is Kira Samaisa. It's an open Ramba. So you got three questions over here. Number one, what is the bris of Nitzavim? What does it add to the other two? And number two, how can you be a tzaddik gomer without doing vidui? And number three, what's the chiddush of tshuva if you see that a person could be oiker his meisim tovim just by saying, I don't want those meisim tovim? Apparently, there's a dichotomy over here. There's, again, like we said last week, two different types of dinim and two different types of tshuva and two different types of change. And with that, maybe we'll understand what's going on a little bit more on Rosh Hashanah. And then maybe the greatest story about tshuva. Remember from the time I was a little kid, it's a heart-rending story, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The heart-rending story of Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya. I call him Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya because that's what the Gemara calls him. Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya, or Elazar ben Durdaya, was an oisvarv shiba oisvarvs. He was a slime bag of slime bags. There was nobody worse than him. It says that he solicited every single zayna in the world. It was a career. He was a career mushkas. Until one day, he found out, that there's this superstar zayna in like somewhere far out, like Beverly Hills or Hollywood, And he's meiser nefesh to like just go and get her the money. And, at that moment over there, when he finally gets what he wants, this disgusting thing says to him, everyone in the world can change, except for one person, you. You're so corrupt, you're so aduk with your filth, with your garbage, that you can never, ever change. You're always going to remain stuck in what you are right now. And she was right, but she was wrong. She was wrong because the rest of the story is that he did change. But she was right in the fact that it was so stuck in his personality that the only way that he could change was by leaving this world. He had become so suffused with evil, with znus, with schmutz, that the only way that he could be oiler is by leaving this temporal world, by leaving this guf and what he had made himself into. And the rest of the story goes that he went up to a mountain and he has this whole conversation with the universe. And at the end of the day, he cries and he cries and he cries at Shaparcha Nishmasa until his neshama left him because he felt so bad. How could it be that I can't change? How could it be that I'm so bad that I'm the worst one? And the Basco comes out and says, Zacha Rebbe Lezer ben Durdaya, he became a Rav, he got smicha, l'chaye oylam haba. I always think about the story, maybe I'm crazy, but I always say, what was he doing when he went up to the mountain? So nowadays, if they put it in a comic book, so like, for sure, like, he would be wearing a gartel already, and like, whatever, he looked very frum, like, big brisker payas, and, he's getting ready to do tshuva. Get out of here. Much more likely that he was a broken person. He had just been told by some schmutznik in Hollywood, you can't change, and it broke him. It broke him. It touched something deep inside of him. When he went up to that mountain, he looked just like he always did. With his tattoos and his body piercing and, whatever. Conjure up your own image. And he just sat there and he communed with the universe and he cried and he cried and he cried until Parcha Nishmas. So then how did it happen? How did it happen? All there was Hirhurei Tshuva. There's no vidui over there. There's no formal formal things which you need for the necessity of doing a proper tshuva, of getting rid of your avinais. All of his arayas and all of his nus and all of his garbage that he was in his whole life, it's still all this. How do you get rid of it? Just because he cried a little bit? Elamai, there are two types of tshuva. There's two dinim, and there's two types of tshuva. There's one type of tshuva that says that I get rid of every single avera or many averas, but pratius, it's ki'ilo, I didn't miss van kriyashma. It's ki'ilo, I didn't steal. It's ki'ilo, I didn't hurt my friend's feelings. And you go and you peel off the tshuva. For that, you need to have a formal tshuva. You need to have a vidui, otherwise it doesn't work. But there's another type of tshuva, and the other type of tshuva is almanashani, tzadik gamur. And that works with what we were talking about last week. What that works with is that a person deep in his heart says, that's it, it's time to change. I want right now, b'charta b'chayim, I want to get a life. I want to be a different type of a person. And it could be that all of his averas are still there, but he's chosen chayim. He's chosen that he wants to invest in his own life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then writes him b'sefer chayim. He writes him b'sefer tzaddikim. Because he decided that he wants to live this year. He decided that he wants to make something out of himself. And that's the answer to all of our questions. What's the chiddush of tshuva? Why is it different than the guy losing all of his mitzvahs? The chiddush of tshuva is that you can repeal every single individual avera. It's you didn't do any averas. What the Rambam means when he says that you don't get schar for the mitzvahs, it doesn't mean that you tore away the mitzvahs. Of course you have the mitzvahs. But if the life that you're living is that I want to live a life of chilling and taiva and, oh yeah, I wish I wouldn't have done all of these mitzvahs, you're not in the Sefer HaChaim. You decided to die this year. You decided that you don't want to make anything out of yourself. And therefore, all of your mitzvahs are not going to help you. You're going to end up in the wrong book. How could it be that when a person says, Al Menashe Ani Tzadik Gamor, and he keeps on doing averes, and he didn't do any vidui, why is he Tzadik Gamor? He has all the pratiyistic averes, because he didn't do his vidui. But he chose that he wants life. And that, Ramesha Shapiro says, that is the bris of Nitzavim. The bris of Nitzavim is you could have a person who does every single thing right. He does all the mitzvahs and none of the averas. As far as that, he's 100% fine. But on the second cheshbon, is he ubacharta b'chayim? Did he decide to live, yibare or al yibare? That he flunked. Why? Because he's sitting there saying, all right, you know, pen yomer bilvavcha, Shalom Yalik, he beshrirus libi eilech. I don't really care so much about these mitzvahs and averas. I don't really care about growing. I don't care about Torah turning me into a different person. Even though he did all the mitzvahs right, but if he didn't choose life, if he didn't choose to make himself into something, he's in the wrong book. The Sifrei HaMesim. The Sifrei HaMesim. The Sifrei Rishoyim, where basically it says you could do everything right, but if you're not trying to make something out of yourself, so then what are you? And those are the two dinim of Rosh Hashanah. Number one din is the mitzvahs averis, the calculus just of what I did, what I didn't do, and the other is making that choice. Am I going to recreate myself this year, or am I going to stay the way that I was? Is it going to be another year of relaxing and chilling and just, you know, doing whatever I've been doing? Or do I want to go up? Do I want a year of life? Do I want a year of growth? Those are the two things that we have on Rosh Hashanah. But let's get back to our original point. And what does this have to do with Nasa V'Nishma? What does it have to do with our whole idea of just do it? Of getting rid of rationalizations and just taking yourself in your hands. I think it's very simple. All year long, we sort of, you know, get caught up in the moment. If we're in yeshiva, it's less so, because yeshiva at least is supposed to be, it's supposed to be a place of growth. But even in yeshiva, it's so easy to just get caught up. All right. Even in yeshiva, it's so easy to get caught up with what we call the matziv. The matziv. The social scene, everything that's going on. All the different things in yeshiva. How often do we think about the fact that every single one of us over here is capable of being an Olympic champion in our own way? Everyone deludes ourselves. Okay, fine, it's not for me. I can't work that hard. I can't be that great. Tkia Schaefer says it's all rationalization. It's a rationalization, and you have to wake up and you have to take your life in your hands. You have to be Vacharta Vachayim, and you have to say Yibare, because every single person, every person in this room, every member of Klal Yisrael can be great and must be great. And that's the very meaning of Rosh Hashanah. Choosing life, choosing to be a tzaddik, choosing to be in the Sefer HaChayim for the coming year. Mitzvahs, averis, getting rid of them, tshuva, 100%. But that's a fundamental choice that we have to make this Rosh Hashanah and every Rosh Hashanah. I'll just end off with one story, a beautiful story also happened to me 2 years, which was just reminiscent of, like, you know, another famous story that they always tell before you may adin v'rachamim. And the story happened with my son. A lot of you know my son from Yeshiva Shabbatonim. My son is now Kenai Nahara, May of Esrim, 33 years old. He doesn't talk, and very limited in, you know, in a lot of things. He knows what's going on, and he connects with Ruchnius in an unbelievable way. Davened here in the recent past, 1 year in Yom Kippur, and people came over to me, you know, like he made our davening, because he bangs and he shouts and, you know, whatever. And there was even a tekufa where Letzari Arav, not there anymore, where I was in a shul where I was the Shlich Tzibur for Ne'ila, and there was another man there, Zichrono Levracha, his name was also Yehuda, and he would take my Yehuda, and they would open the Aron Kodesh for Ne'ila together. So it was the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah 2 years ago. I guess he was gearing up, you know, for what's going to be, and he was having a very, very lebedik shachris and musaf, and he was banging a lot and screaming a lot. And, you know, the problem was, there was a kid right in front of us with Down syndrome, and he sort of didn't get what was going on. And he tells him, you know, shh, be quiet, you know, what are you doing, or whatever, which, of course, Yehuda's like, you know, geavek, I'm not interested, you know, whatever. Until finally, this kid with Down syndrome turns around and, like, looks at Yehuda and looks at me like I'm his father, and to my little son Yossi or whatever, not so little anymore, he's 17 already, 16, almost 17, and says, "Humishuga." Yossi and I sort of both looked at each other like this Down syndrome kid is looking at you and say, "Atamashuga." I thought to myself two things. Number one, he's probably the only sane one in this room. We're all the ones who are crazy. He's the only one who gets it. But then I thought of the famous story in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur of the shepherd who comes into shul. The shepherd who doesn't know how to daven at all. And while everybody is davening or everybody is being quiet, he comes in, the only thing he knows how to do is to whistle and whistle very, very, very loud. And he puts his fingers in his mouth and he just whistles away, and everybody, what is this guy doing? And they all look at him and they say, "Atamashuga." Until the Rav said, no. He's the only one who gets it. He's the only one who gets it. The rest of us are full of rationalizations. We're full of the nishma. We'll listen, we'll figure it out. So people who don't have that ability sometimes, they're the ones who hear the Tekiah Shofar. The Tekiah Shofar that says, Nasa V'nishma. The Tekiah Shofar that says, tell your rationalizations to just be quiet. Every one of you can be great. And just do it. That's our challenge, Rosh Hashanah, and all year round. And Be'ez Hashem, if we have that mahalach, realizing that there's two dinim, one din of mitzvahs and averus, and the other one, the din of whether we decide ourselves, is this going to be the year that I say to myself, just do it? U'bacharta b'chayim? Yibarei? So then we're automatically in the Sefer HaChaim, the Sefer HaTzadikim, and Be'ez Hashem all have a good benched yard together. Everybody should have a ksiva chasima taiva, and also a good Shabbos.